Well, we're going to get right to the meat of the day, of the service. If you stand with me, you see the scriptures up already. Book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 1, page 1295. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll begin in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Small g. Yeah. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all knowledge and cunning and knowledge. Skillful in all wisdom and cunning and all knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who had appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse likened than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said to Melzar, on whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children that eat of the portions of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this manner, and proved them 10 days, and at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. And as for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Look to your neighbor and tell them the title of the message is To Eat or Not to Eat. Amen. You may be seated. To eat or not to eat. When I told Brother Andy the title of the message, he said, I'm hungry now. You said that. To eat or not to eat. We're going to talk about 4 young men. And we're going to begin with Daniel. His name means God is my judge. That's what Daniel's name means. And what I like about Daniel, he was humble. He was a prophet. Yeah. And see, we think they were old men, but they was captured at a very young age, 14 to 16 years of age. They was captured in the year 605. B.C., that's before Christ. Daniel was a prayer warrior. He was a worshiper. He was a praiser. he was an interpreter of dreams, and he was a visionary. And he had much wisdom and very knowledgeable and understanding in the things of God. And he had great faith. He was dedicated, loyal. He was a prince. He was a president. Can you believe that? He was a president. He was a great servant. He was very prosperous. And he was a solution solver. All of them was. All four of them. They were taken and they was captured. And they was taken to Babylon. Babel. The land of confusion. After the destruction at Jerusalem. And see, God don't play. When he said, don't worship any gods before me. Don't do nothing idols. I'm come first. I am a jealous God. And you keep sinning. You keep doing what you want to do. I'm going to take you away from me. Yeah. Amen. People keep playing with God. Yeah. So we got to get our lives right. But these four young men, at a young age, they were very knowledgeable in the scripture. They was all about the service of God. They was always doing the work of the Lord. They was always praising God. They was always worshiping Him. They was always seeking His face. They lived their life. Worship. That was their lifestyle, worshiping the Lord. But they were taken away. And then they're going to change their names to what they want to perceive it to be. They're trying to strip and erase everything about God out of their lives. And they wanted, the king requested these young men to be welfare favored, to be good looking, and to be strong and strapping, and having understanding and having wisdom. And they got to be very wise. And he wanted them to serve in his kingdom. He tried to take them away from the kingdom of God. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what my favorite verse right here. He said, but Daniel, he took the lead. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself by eating of the king's food, his meat. He said, I don't want to drink. I don't want that meat. He said, I'm not going to let anything come into this temple. If it's not worshiping God, our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I don't want it. So he made up his mind. He was determined. He knew he's not supposed to touch that food. He didn't want to defile himself. He didn't want to mar his body. He didn't want to desecrate it, violate it, make it foul and dirty and polluting and tainting it with that poison. So he had a resolution. Not a New Year's resolution. He had a resolution and a determination and a made up mind. He was going not to defile his body, to eat or not to eat.
Alright.
Then he went over there and asked the eunuch, the prince. His name was Melzar. They had some names. I think we had some crazy names today, like Pastor was saying last week, how they naming their kids all kinds of names. Umfufu, you know. Well, what is that? Where'd that come from? I used to question my parents. I said, why y'all name me Arnie's? Where'd that come from? But it's good, though. But he purposed in his heart. So he went to the prince. He said, and he found mercy with the prince. He had compassion on him. And he went to talk to that prince and ask him, sir, where did that food come from? Where did that meat come from? Because if I think I know where it's coming from, I don't want it.
Right.
Who cooked it? Who made it? You know, when you go, you probably do it secretly. When you look, well, I don't. I'll be like, who made this? You go to somebody's house and you can notice if they clean or not. They washing their hands or they cleaning the meat and all this, all the food. You know, I don't want it. I ain't taking this body. He said, but where did you get that from? He said, man, this is from the king. It's fine dining food. Got the finest wine that you can ever drink. It's the best there is. It's delicious too. But who prepared it? Daniel already decided in his mind that he was not going to partake of this food and eat and drink before he was even presented to him. He already determined that he's not going to do it. Why you may say that he wasn't going to do it? Because they already worship idols with this food. They serve other gods with this food. And then you want me to take this here temple of God with this food? You want to present it to me like it's all that and bag of chips? No. Because I worship the true and living God. We can't put anything and everything in our body. But he said, no, I don't care if you put it on fine china or a paper plate. I'm not going to eat it. I don't care. I'm not going to drink that wine. I don't care if you put it in a golden goblet or a paper cup. It's not going to touch my lips. It's not going. See, we got to be aware of that, what goes in them. And what, and see, what comes out of us, that's what defiles us. Jesus says that. Because they was over there talking about the external. You know, how we look good on the outside, we dress up nice, and we got everything going on. What's with your heart? God said, I'm not going to have no other gods before me. Worship them not. Isn't that one of his commandments? See, today's idols and gods are people and cars and money and things and materialistic stuff. You know, I got this, I can get this. And we worship our husbands, our boyfriends and girlfriends and people and our children. Anything that you place before God is an idol. He always comes first. Every time you open your eyes up, lift your hands up and thank him for the gift of life he gave you. Thank you for the your blood pouring warm through my veins. Thank you I can go to the bathroom. I can walk and I can talk. I got all my senses in me. I'm clothed in my right mind. I can lift you up. Say, touch it not. Touch not the unclean things in this world. Touch it not. To eat or not to eat. You know that food was killed with the blood of animals. He said, do away with all of that. Do away with the with anything that you place before God in your life. By now reading his word, studying his word, listening up to the Savior, praying and seeking his face, searching him out. As he searches the intents of our hearts. If it's sincere or not, or you're doing lip service, or everybody say, lift up your hands and praise God, and you do it. You really doing it from your heart and your spirit. Yes. See, that's what God looking at. He's judging you from your heart. Yes. Are you playing those instruments to worship him? Right. Or are you doing it just to be seen? God comes first. Amen. To eat or not to eat. Our bodies, we was created for the Lord. He's not going to dwell in unclean things.
Amen.
And we're not living our lives according to his word. That's it. It's over. We think we can get by. Don't forget, we got a God of judgment. God of chastisement. And he'll get with you, he'll speak right in your heart. That's not right. To eat or not to eat. Nope, nope, nope. He said, well, I got a suggestion. He said, sir, can you give us some pulse? That's vegetables. And you know we need more vegetables in our body. Don't we? I've heard the president, President 41 at his homegoing service, you know, he was talking about him, how he ain't like broccoli. We need the broccoli. We need the vegetables in our bodies to sustain us, to be healthy. He said, I want some water to drink. And just try me. Prove me. Test me for 10 days. He said, but you know, you asking a whole lot. You know the king gonna have my head. You endangering my life. See, you know, see what he doing, he worshiping the king as his God. Yeah. Not going along with the program. He said, but just try me, test me. I'm gonna prove it to you that this you gonna see in 10 days. That's all I asked you for. You know, that's just it. I'm not asking you for silver or gold. I'm not asking you for money. I'm not asking you for new sandals to walk. I'm not asking you for a land. Just try me out. You're going to see how my God works. Because I'm living this life for him.
Amen.
Y'all haven't made up mind.
Yeah.
Who we going to serve? Yeah. We're going to serve God or our flesh.
Yeah.
The Lord comes first in my life before anybody. But Daniel, they test me. Give us the vegetables. Give it to us. And I thought about this. It's one song. Everybody should know it. With Shirley Caesar, she said, what's that song? The Name and Challenge? Is that beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, corn, dog, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, rabbit, you name it. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, beans, 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 beans. You name it. That's what I want. That was Daniel kept saying, I want that. He made his mind not defile his body what he ate. It's hard sometimes. We gotta make a decision. How we gonna live this life? And we need help. I know it's hard. I know. It's hard not to touch that fried chicken, them fried pork chops and potato salad and macaroni and cheese and ice cream and potato chips. But we want some beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, turkey. We want some beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, rabbit.
Yeah.
But it's hard to make a decision what not to do. But you know what to do according to the word of God. You were like, ooh. How did I get in this bar? You know I ain't supposed to be in this bar. How did I get in this bedroom? January. How did I end up with this situation in October? Count the cost. We have to be decisive. We have to be deliberate. Today's decision will affect our tomorrow. What it cost? What's the price of doing something that we know we shouldn't be doing.
Amen.
If we in a situation, we got to ask God to help us.
Yes.
To sustain us. To get us out of that situation. Because I don't want to do wrong.
Amen.
Not according to your word. Because people are leaving up out of this world with the quickness. And they standing before God. So we got to give an account of ourselves. Of everything. Everything we ever said. Whether good or bad. Yes. Every thought. He knows all about it. And we had to go before him. We can't go up there with any excuses. We think we are, and we think we're going to get away. He want to know, did you live this word? Did you tell someone about the love of God? Did you witness to them? How many souls did we get saved? Did we clothe the people? Did we feed them? Did we do right by people? Did we love on people with a sincere heart? These decisions, what you do today, or you make today, would affect you tomorrow. He didn't compromise. It wasn't no negotiation going on. He already knew what God was going to do for him. Because he spoke to God every day. All day long. They tried to shut Daniel up. They lied on him. Because he was promoted to be president over everybody. God promoted him. God saw that he was going to do right. He was going to live right. He was going to talk right. He was going to walk right. He was a soul winner for Christ. He worshiped him. And he was never ashamed to get on his knees and stand before God and worship him and thank him and praise him. And he loved on the Lord on a continual basis. But some people got jealous.
Amen.
And they went to the king. The king didn't know it, what was going on. Let's make a decree. If anybody for 30 days, they can't pray to no other God except for you without your permission. And so they said they saw fit, they had a plan going on. Yeah. And he said, and then when they went and spotted him out, when he was on his knees praying, he was making supplications. His request made be known. He was honoring God. He was glorifying God. He was lifting up his hands and he was worshiping the Lord Savior. He was thanking him. He had his window open. He said, I know what they're going to do to me. He didn't cry. He didn't bellyache. He didn't moan. He didn't complain or nothing like that. He went on his knees. And he started lifting up the Savior.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they come along and talk, oh, we got him now. Oh, King. Ooh, didn't you say? Didn't you agree with us? Didn't you make this decree?
Uh-huh.
That if anybody worship any other God besides this thing right here, that you was going to throw him in a den of lions? He said, yes, I did. He said, well, that servant, Daniel, we called him 3 times. He was praying to his God. Now you got to go throw him in the den. A lion. The king tried to make an excuse. King wasn't dumb. He was wise, man. He knew Daniel served the living God. And he said, well, no, he was trying to get him out of the situation. He said, ah, according to the Medes and the Persians, nope. You did it. You signed it. He signed that decree. He said, okay, go ahead and throw him in there. And Daniel got up off his knees and he went. Because he already knew. He had that faith in God. That God was getting ready to deliver him. He's getting ready to be saved, to be rescued. And while they threw him down in there, he was still praising God. See, when you get in your situation, in the middle of your situation, you praise God. You lift up the Savior. You glorify his name. You magnify him. When we're going through, seek his face. I'll be like, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. I honor you today. Praise is what I do. Worship is why I live my life.
Amen.
He was down there praising God the whole time. And the king couldn't sleep at night at all. He couldn't sleep. He even fasted for Daniel. He fasted for him. And sleep left him. And he couldn't wait for morning to come. He went to the down there and he was like, move that stone away. He said, Daniel, did your God? Are you still living? Yes. The master has rescued me. I am not hurt because I loved on my Lord. He said, bring him up. Bring him up. Bring him up. And he said, don't marry ones that accuse you. Throw them down there. Matter of fact, get his wives, his children, his horses, his donkeys, or whatever else. Put them all down there. And they broke every last one of their bones, those lions did. Lion's den is a place of danger. But see what God can do for you when you lift him up and love on him? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they tried to find cause against them. And he made an idol. He said, when y'all hear all kind of music and singing going on, I want y'all to fall down and worship this pulpit. I want everybody to fall down, bow down to this. What can this thing do for me? And so they didn't fall down. And then a group of people again accusing them. Hey, them three young men, they didn't fall down. They didn't bow down. Did you make a decree? He said, yeah, I did. Okay, but you gotta put them in the fiery furnace. Put them in the fiery furnace. Because they didn't bow down to some plastic or some wood or stubble or whatever it is, or gold and silver. Put them down there. Because they didn't worship your God. And they down there. They bound them up and everything. Threw them down there. He said, matter of fact, he was so mad, he said, heat it up 7 times hotter. And it got so hot, even the people who were throwing them in there, they got burnt up. And then when they were down there, they burnt. Just, let's sing us a song. I love you, Lord.
Come on.
I praise you, Lord.
Yes.
I worship you.
Yes.
You are a good God.
Yes.
You are a great God.
Yes.
You are a merciful God.
Yes.
You are a loving God. I adore you so much. I can't live my life without you. I don't care if I put myself in the grave, I'm still gonna lift you up. I'm up on earth, I'm still gonna praise you. I'm still gonna worship you. I'm still gonna love on you, Lord. Because you're so worthy. You've been so worthy. You're a treasure in my heart, Lord. I praise you. They down there singing and rejoicing in the Lord. Then the next day, here come the king. He said, wait a minute. Did a minute. Didn't we throw three of them down in there? They said, yeah, yes, sir. But how come? Ooh, wait a minute. I see four men walking. And that one looked like the Son of the Living God, Jesus Christ. The Savior of the world. I see a fourth one. The Creator created a miracle. He did a mighty work. He said, bring them out. Bring them out. And then he made another decree after that. And he did it to Daniel too. If nobody don't serve the living and true God, you cast them out into the pit. You cast them into the fiery furnace. You cast them into the den of lions. Whatever you got to do, get rid of them. Because he is the only true and living God. Worship him only. And these were young men.
Yes, Lord.
They were brought up in the Lord, loving God. Up in Judah, Jerusalem, Israel. Their parents brought them up. But for so young, there's no excuse for these young people today. They can still praise and worship God. I was watching baby girl Promise this morning. We were standing back there and I was like, she had her eyes closed. And she was lifting her hands up and she was waiting. I was like, look at that. She's worshiping God. That have put down the games and phones and everything else. Man, ooh, Lord Jesus. I didn't know. I guess I was so naive. I found out how naive I was last week. Pastor asked me to look up something for something. And I was looking up this one word, and I Googled it. Something else popped up. And I didn't know. That's how naive I was. And I first thought, I said, what is that? Then I brought it close. I was, oh, man. I said, I can't throw my phone. I'm going to break it up. I'm about to buy another one. What I seen is so accessible to kids nowadays. I didn't know it was that easy. I hear about it, but I didn't know it was that easy to obtain. Take them phones away from them kids. Get them to the Word of God. I was shocked on my life. I said, Denise! Look at this. I didn't know pornography was like that. And I said, let me get this off my phone. Get it off my phone. You know, I didn't know that. I'm looking for something else and this popped up. Block those phones. Parents. They don't need to see anything in that indulgence. Get into the Word of God.
Amen.
Pray with each other. Praise with each other. But they didn't compromise nor negotiate. And then at the end of it all, after 10 days, and I looked up 10. The number 10, I don't know where I wrote it down, but it's called, it's divine completion. Or in divine order, perfection. Yeah, perfection and order. And see, God completed the matter. God stood strong, upright in their lives. They could do nothing but worship God. You know, everybody else saw. You see, when you live with God, you know, people should run to you and say, what must I do to be saved? Something different about you.
Right.
When I go to those places like Dollar Trees and Walmarts, people see a difference. It's not me. And last week when I went to Walmart, I think I went and bought some blankets and some more toiletries. And this young man, he had to be like middle 20s. And he turned around and said, what are you doing with this stuff. I said, you know, we go downtown, Cass Corridor, you know, there'd be temperature passes, you know, you know, I go through all that. And he said, you know, that's great. That's wonderful. He said, because you know, you never know when you are one step away. I said, yeah, you're right about that. And he said, you know what? I was there. He said, yeah, I did all kind of drugs and I did all this and that. And he said, people like y'all, us. He said, it helped me. I'm delivered today because of people like y'all that y'all care for us. Y'all show love, the love of God in my life. He said, I thank God he lifted up his head right standing in line. And he was loving on God right then and there. And we were just standing there, you know, I didn't need no money. I didn't care about it. He said, because y'all took care of me when I was dying. See, that's what people are looking for.
Right.
They ain't looking for that fake stuff. They know when you're real or not. People are always watching you, whether you know it or not. They see you come to church every Sunday. Or a prayer meeting Saturday, or we go downtown. They know you real. I know my parents taught us that years ago. When my parents took us to the prisons and jails, and we went everywhere with them. And I know my dad told us an instruction, we can walk really into the prison. He said, you go down the middle aisle, don't look to the right or to the left. And then when you sit down at the table with them, be real. Because if you're not real, they'll know it. They didn't have no guards around us. He said, we're going to open up the Word of God. And we're going to talk about the Word of God. We're going to get souls saved. We're going to witness to them. I said, no, Dad. That's why I'm like this today. Because he's still that. They instilled that in us.
Amen.
We may make mistakes. We have our faults. But we got a God that's merciful. And we got a forgiving God. As long as we repent and move on. Repentance, nah. Everybody get forgiveness and repentance, that's the same thing. Repentance means it's going to be a change. You're not going to do it anymore. If you weep, you go to your father. Your father God. But Daniel, Hananiah, I'm going to call them by their names. Azariah and Mishael. They stood strong in the Lord and they lived their life upon. We got to be deliberate. We got to have faith in God. And we have to trust in Him to help us to eat or not to eat. That's not a question. Everybody stand up. I love the Lord so much. I cannot live this life without Him. Where would I be without the Lord? When I look back over my life and see how far He has brought me. This thing is serious. We say time is winding up. We don't know when He will call us home. People are losing their minds. I seen this man the other day. And then Friday night or Saturday, he was dead. You know, that's in a shockwave. To me. I may see you now. Will you be ready to meet the Lord? Game time is over. We got to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We got to continue to love on the Lord. We can't live. I feel funny if I don't read my word or I don't pray. And everybody, I want the Lord to talk to me. He's talking. He's talking. We gotta live this word every day, all day. He's there to help us. He'll get us out of every situation. We give it over to him. He's a faithful God. He's a righteous God. And he cares for you. Because he loves us so, so much. Not that we love him, but he loved us. To eat or not to eat. We're going to come down. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to form a line.